everybody, this is Paul Stanley from KISS. And right now I want to introduce you to something called Rock Solid. It's a program presented by Never Not Funny. It's a new podcast, and it's going to be hosted by Pat Francis and Gary Lucy. I think you're going to dig it.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, this is Pat Francis, and this is a brand new podcast. This is something that Never Not Funny is presenting. I think we're actually going to say Never Not Funny presents a podcast called Rock Solid, and it's going to be a weekly podcast. Well, it might not be weekly after today. They might decide to just, this might be a one-off, but we're planning on a weekly podcast. It's going to be about music. We're going to have some fun, some laughs. It's going to be hosted by me and a guy named Gary Lucy. And Gary, are you there?
Oh, here I am. Hey, Pat, how's it going?
Very good. Good. There, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's really exciting to be podcasting from the historic Never Not Funny Studios. I have a feeling if these walls could talk, they would let you listen to the conversation for the first 20 minutes and then start charging you after that. But it's an honor. Thank you for having me.
I think if these walls could talk, they would say, "Pat, get out." That's what they would say. Gary, people from Never Not Funny, they know me from Never Not Funny and my association with Matt and Jimmy. By the way, everyone, Matt Belknap is in the room. He's not going to talk, is what he told us. But he's here and he's producing the podcast, so the sound will be perfect. So anyway, Gary, people don't know much about you. Jimmy and I know you because you're an avid music fan. You're a comedy writer. You're an extremely funny and talented gentleman. And what do you want to tell us about yourself?
Well, thanks for all that. First of all, I know Jimmy and you from the comedy scene, writer, producer, but first and foremost, yeah, like a music fan. I was like a college DJ in the 80s and worked in record stores and wore a lot of vests, you know, and then then in the 90s, I moved to the Pacific Northwest and wore a lot of flannel, a lot of thermals, and it was a layered look, you know, like throughout those decades. And I just love it. I thought as I got older, I would like the obsession would lift about music, but it just it keeps getting stronger.
It's stronger, yeah. That's what I was going to say.
It's I don't know if it's immature, but I look around these days and you know, Madonna says music makes the people come together, but lately I see music has been pushing us apart. It's so fractured nowadays. Right. It used to be everyone knew the same songs and was a kind of a common language, but nowadays everyone's just got their own thing going, and it's so easy to just like make your own radio station on a Pandora, what have you.
Make
so,
your own podcast.
Make your own podcast. I know, any jackass let's with two microphones.
Yeah, let's not listen to radio anymore. Let's make our own thing.
Exactly. So, what I want to do is maybe kind of break down those walls and I think it's important to not just listen to things that you like, but, things that you don't know about and things that you listen to things you don't like. It's good for your, you know, you can't just have ice cream all the time. You need some, cauliflower.
And this is what will be good with Gary and I because I'm one of those guys that's kind of stuck in listening to, I have an array of bands that I like and I've always liked them and I continue to like them. And they continue to make new music, and I continue to buy that new music. But I don't always expand out there and get into some new stuff. So this will help me. Gary's going to help me enjoy something new. And I will help Gary enjoy REO Speedwagon. So,
yeah, and I'm the aging hipster that you would see at the Decemberist concert or something, the crazy glasses. Like, is he here to pick up his kid? What's that guy doing? So that's, it keeps me young, Pat.
and do you want to say how old you are, Gary?
I'm 44.
Yeah, see, I'm not saying how old I am, but thanks for sharing that, Gary.
Wow.
And I'm a couple years older than Gary. So we probably might have a lot of the same reference points, but I'm thinking we might not have a lot of the same reference points.
Sparks are going to fly.
We're going to be like the Siskel and Ebert of the music podcast scene. And by that, I mean, I have a brain tumor and Gary has jaw cancer. So, I'm not sure how long this podcast is going to last, but we're going to try. So today, this is episode, I'm calling them 001. So this is 001. It's our debut episode. So the first topic of our first episode, I thought it would be cool to talk about our five favorite debut CDs from bands around the world, the globe.
Yeah, through time.
And we'll just we'll throw them out there. We'll start it like we'll do like a 5-4-3-2-1, and Gary and I will discuss. I have no idea what is on Gary's list.
Yeah,
I had a list of 10, and I actually brought the CDs with me, and I'm still trying to figure out. Don't look over there, okay. Gary. And we're gonna. Gary's looking at my goods, and I don't like that. And I mean my cock and balls when I say that. Gary looked right at my. And we also found out earlier before we started that the Replacements have a song called "Gary's Got a Boner."
It's true.
Yeah, and that goes a little bit like what, Gary? Can you...
It goes a little something like this.
Okay.
Can you hear that? Does it work?
That's a rocking tune. About a dude with a boner. I'm assuming the chorus is Gary's got a boner.
Yeah, it's coming right up there.
There you go.
That's true. The proof.
I love it. And that would be about, that's about Gary Busey, right?
Yeah, yeah. Is this what the show's going to be like?
I hope not.
Okay.
Because Matt's already, he potted down two of the two mics. So I don't know what that means. Okay, Gary, let's start with you. What does are these in an order? Are these are
in order, and I you know, like you, I agonized over it because you know people are going to judge me and everything. So I had to set up a criteria, okay. And here it was. This is what makes a good debut album. It's got to be. It's just got to like first of all be. My favorite album by this artist.
Okay.
Like, it's got to be like, they arrived with the high watermark of their career, and then nothing really happened after that. But they just arrived, bam, like,
right.
Sui generis, fully formed, like, where the hell did that come from?
Right.
And then it's just, you know, where have you been all my life? So, on that score, this is one, it seems kind of tame now, but at the time, nowadays, like, this album comes with your freshman orientation packet when you go to college. But at the time, it was like, I thought, are these guys serious? Killers? Are they gonna get me? Are they gonna try to hold me down and kiss me or something? It's I'm talking about the Violent Femmes' first album.
Wow,
that thing it was nuts. It was like an acoustic trio, and I guess it just blew my mind so much because it was so. They were just so weird and snotty, but just like, but not like in a loud way. They were like an acoustic trio, like a folk combo almost. But they just just had these. They weren't, they were like weird in a way that I hadn't heard something be weird before, and I was scared.
And Gary, let's say someone out there listening to the podcast or someone sitting across the table from you is not familiar with the Violent Femmes. Is there a song on their first? What's their first album called?
It's called The Violent Femmes, and it's got a little girl, and she's like looking through a.
Oh,
French
okay,
door
I know that. I know that album cover very well.
There's like. Should I play little things here? Is that annoying for people? It's like what's like a good one? Like that's not it. What about this one?
Can't go through the best debut and then say that's not a good one. Oh, that's a terrible one.
No, just to give people a hint.
Little taste.
This is probably the one that everybody knows. It's like in a lot of soundtracks and such as that.
What's this called?
It's called Add It Up, and there's F words in it. Yeah, but
so a lot of radio play for Add It Up with the F words.
Yeah, it took 8 years for this to go gold, and but it eventually did. And they never really topped it. Did you?
They
know
do have one hit though, don't they? Have one well known song.
They had some. They had this one called American.
Wait,
Music.
What is that? What?
Blister in the Sun. That's it.
And that's from this album.
That's
right?
What I meant. It's like. That's
yeah,
what
there
I
you go.
That's what I meant to play before. That's what I was like. It was first podcast jitters. Did you know they were discovered by the Pretenders?
Really?
Yeah, it's James Honeyman Scott and Chrissy Hynde were walking down the street in Milwaukee, like before a gig, and saw them playing on the street and said, "Hey, you guys should come and play." And there you have it. So anyway.
All right. So number five.
I should have went with Big Country. That was my
number five for Gary is Violent Femmes.
Write it down.
Titled
Violent Femmes.
Violent Femmes. A lot of times the debut album is a self-titled album.
Quite often.
And this brings me to my number five, which is actually
The Pretenders.
Pretenders.
Oh man.
Pretenders with, like you said, Chrissy Hynde, James Honeyman Scott, Pete Farndon, and Martin Chambers on drums. Two of those people alive, two dead. You figure it out. No, the drummer and Chrissy Hynde are obviously still alive, and they're still going as the Pretenders. First Pretenders album has Tattooed Love Boy, and it's got Precious, and Brass in Pocket, and for me, top to bottom, a great, great album.
It's amazing. And yeah, talk about arriving fully formed. Yep. And like, you know, didn't really sound a classic, but yeah, but you know, but and yet like, you know, 100% new. And I never knew until I saw that movie. What was it with Scarlett Johansson and Bill Murray, and they're in the
Last Temptation of Christ.
That's it. And I never knew, like, in Brass in Pocket, where Chrissy Hynde lists the things that she's going to use to win this guy. I never knew what that one word was, but it's she's going to use her sidestep,
yes,
turns out.
Yes.
Is that
use her sidestep.
Yeah. Is that an effective move?
It's actually the way my wife won me over.
Really?
Yes.
Did she have like a sidestep?
She used a lot of things. She used her tongue, her fingers, and then her sidestep actually got me on board. So,
nice.
And a lot of women to get me would just use their brass in their pocket.
Is it like like an incense burner or some brass knuckles? What is it?
I wasn't sure if maybe she had some a gold doubloon in there or something. She was going to buy me a soda with some brass, or if she was just going to punch me in the face with a brass with a brass knuckle. I agree.
I think she likes you.
I think so.
When she punched you.
Okay. So far, I like our number fives.
So far, okay. I'm picking up the pace here. This is the most recent one on mine. The last debut album that just really knocked me out and said, "What?" I said, "Wow." Was
Wait, what did you say?
Let me take that again. This is the most recent one on my list. 2001, five mop top lads from New York City, The Strokes.
Wow,
with Is This It? Have you ever heard that?
No, I do not. Again, this is great, Gary, because I don't know. I don't know The Strokes.
Unbelievable! It's they were kind of led the garage rock revival of the early aughts there. You want to get the British version with the lady's butt on the cover and the song New York City Cops. It came out pre 9/11, because then the post 9/11 U.S. release date, they took off New York City Cops.
But lady's butt is still there?
Lady's butt is gone, and it's like a close up of like a germ or an amoeba or something like that.
That's no good.
You want a lady's butt on the cover, but these guys rock. I don't know how else to put it. You ever heard this song?
I got three letters for you. WOW. Wow. I heard this song.
You know this song.
You got to remember, the last new band I got into was White Lion.
So, okay. Well, this is going to be good. I'm going to have a lot of good suggestions for you. You'll appreciate this. The guitarist of The Strokes, Albert Hammond Jr., his father,
is Albert Hammond Sr.
of
that band, this classic rock band. What's the name? Band.
Well, he had that hit, It Never Rains in Southern California.
That's right. But wasn't he with a classic rock band?
You know, you may be right. Man, we should look that up. But who do you think, like, when Junior and Senior are like, it's Thanksgiving and they're arguing about who has like the better music career, who do you think wins that argument? Because
The Strokes are popular.
Yeah, they've had they're popular now, and they've had four albums. But I'm thinking the old man is like, you know, you don't have a song they play in dentist's office, do you? Punk.
I'm trying to find. Matt. Where are you? Are you looking up something, Matt? You on Wiki?
Matt's on the
We're supposed to have the knowledge in our heads, Matt. It's not.
And the singer of The Strokes. I think they're all kind of, you know, rich, like private school kids and everything. Yeah. But don't hold that against it. But the singer.
Oh, he co-wrote Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now with Diane Warren for Jefferson Starship.
This is Senior.
That's what it says. Yeah, Excellent. Senior.
Okay.
So I guess that's what you do at Thanksgiving dinner. You whip that out. You go, do you have a hit with Starship? Don't think you do. And then he just starts singing, "If we can build this dream forever, Stan.
I hate you, Dad."
"You okay, Dad? They put you through private school," is what he tells his son at that point.
But I was going to say, the singer, Julian Casablancas, his dad is the president of the Casablancas Modeling Agency. So not only was he rich, but there was like models hanging around.
And he's getting a lot of tail.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
nice.
And you know, and so you think like it would be like a to get into rock music, you thought, "Oh, I got to get away from these models," but nope. He had a calling right there. What's your number four?
Number four for me is a little band out of Southern California. And these guys came out in 1978. What if I just did a ramp up for like 5 minutes? They're a four-member band. Quite a few albums. And their first album started like this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget some dudes like lip-sync this in... 7th grade talent show. Thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
So my number four is Van Halen by Van Halen. And the reason for this is of course Eddie Van Halen's guitar sound. I don't think we heard anything like that at the time. That was before everyone started to do the noodling up the neck and and all that kind of stuff.
That's how my wife won me over.
Noodled up your neck?
Yeah.
Now you're remarried though, right?
I renewed our vows.
You renewed with the same
woman,
same
yeah,
chick. Okay,
upgrade the contract. There.
Okay,
cool. more weekend minutes.
I always like to think that you're remarried, but we'll go with the way you said
my first one.
But no, Van Halen one. It's a classic. I people always go back and forth between, do you like Sammy better? Do you like Dave better? And I actually do like Sammy. But I'm gonna steal this from Eddie Trunk. Eddie Trunk said that the first six Van Halen albums with Dave have a classic sound that is similar to a sound of a Led Zeppelin or a Black Sabbath, where you just can't duplicate that sound. So I do agree with that, and I'm not saying the Sammy albums are better than the Dave albums, by no means. I like Van Halen in all shape and form, but Van Halen one with you know, the cover of "You Really Got Me" by the Kinks, and "Ain't Talking About Love," and of course "Running with the Devil" and "Ice Cream Man." I mean, these are, I think they still play over half this album live in concert today. So it's just a solid. I think about 33 minutes of rock and roll. So
I'm a Van Halen fundamentalist. Yeah. I refuse to acknowledge the existence of the post Sammy. I'll throw a bone to the Sharon era, but the It's all about David Lee Roth for me. And here's a song you might like that celebrates that first album. Have you ever heard this? It's called Van Halen by
Nerf Herder.
By Nerf Herder.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is fantastic. And it does the two good things: praises the first album and takes Sammy Hagar to task.
We're gonna have dueling. I'm playing it now too. Because that's got to be...
See how annoying that can be.
It's going in vain. Anyway.
It's kind of unlistenable that way.
Check that out. Nerve Herder.
Number three for you, sir.
Yeah. This is an album that came out, I believe, in 1993. Matador Records, like a cornerstone of indie rock. Supposedly a track-by-track response album to the Stones' Exile on Main Street.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Liz Phair, Exile on Guyvan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. Everyone owned this. Everyone talked this. You couldn't go to a party back then without hearing this. And so, you know, it's like in response to Exile on Main Street. So some of the songs are like, "Stop tumbling those dice. I have a headache. Get your rocks off. I just mopped the floor." Very feminist.
Those aren't really the titles, Gary.
No, they're not.
You're making those up.
Trying to make jokes about the Rolling Stones. I like to kid around about the Rolling Stones.
"Rip this joint in half. I'm done getting high." Is that one of them?
Just half a joint for me.
Liz Phair can't sing, though. We can agree, right? She's got a very, very thin voice.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's not a gifted vocalist. She wouldn't win American Idol, but it serves the songs. Okay. Don't you think? And
the bad singing serves the bad songs. I do not like XIO and Guyville. We're going to argue. But you know what? I don't like XIO on Main Street either.
What?
That'll be another thing. I think it's one of their weakest.
Wow,
Stone's weakest albums.
You know what? Today,
are we on a tangent, Gary?
We're on a little bit of a tangent here, but just because we brought it up today is the 49th anniversary of the Stones' first performance.
And it was where? Was it in Maryland? No, in Massachusetts.
I want to say, I think it was in London.
No. I'm thinking of their first American performance.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay. Yeah, but
49th anniversary. So
yeah, I really wish I could have seen him back when Keith had his original blood. That would have been the best. But have you ever seen the Stones?
I've only seen them once, but I loved it, and it was at Dodger Stadium, so it's not the best place to see a show. But they're one of my favorites. They're one of my top 10 bands.
My mom took me to on the Tattoo U tour. That was like one of my first concerts.
Your mom took you?
Yeah. Mm. She was my mom likes to party.
She a hippie? Is your mom still alive?
She is. Yeah.
I don't want to talk about her.
If
she's dead.
No, she's full of life.
And does she still enjoy the rock and roll?
She likes to she outgrew it. She's a grown up.
Now, is it going to be sad? How old is your mom? My parents are in their 70s. How old is your mom?
She's really young. She was born in 49. 62.
Yeah. Oh, so she had you. Yeah. You were probably birthed on a commune or something.
Yeah, well, it was like a summer of love baby. And she actually told me, you were conceived in a bathroom, and I'll never forget it. Donovan Sunshine. Shine Superman was playing, so that song was ruined.
Very nice. But, I think that song was ruined before your conception. Quick tangent here.
Yeah.
That's not even one of the top five Stones albums.
Wow. You know what? I think.
I mean, it would have been a good single album. I think songs like "Turd on the Run." Some of these songs are unlistenable for me, and I own it, and I have owned it in every carnation. I've owned
things.
A carnation breakfast drink. I've owned words I don't even know how to use them.
There's two things when people talk about what makes a record good is there's sonically, is it fun to listen to? Is it pleasing to the ears? And then there's this other factor there's this cool factor. Is there a mythology? Right. Other people and that's all part of it,
and I've seen the documentary on the making of it, and that's extraordinary, and the whole everything that surrounds it, how they left, they were exiled to France, and all the stuff. But to me, it would have been the songs I like on there. I love them. The songs that are great, I love. But then to me, there's about six songs of worthlessness.
For sure. I think that's going to be a good topic for another show, overrated albums and what you should listen to instead of that.
I like that. Okay, cool. Okay.
Mark it down.
All right.
Number three.
Number three for me is just a perfect power pop album for the 90s. And it is Gin Blossom's New Miserable Experience.
Oh, dude, yeah.
This album I love. It's got Hey Jealousy. It's got my daughter's named after one of these songs. My daughter Rita, Mrs. Rita, oh. Until I Fall Away, Found Out About You, Allison Road. I mean, there's really not a clunker on this. There's 12 songs, and it was released in 92, and I think it still holds up today.
I was going to ask if your daughter's named Allison Road.
Her middle name's Road. I should have named her Allison Rita or Rita Allison.
Oh, that would have been good. I kind of reject the concept of a guilty pleasure, but that is like a guilty pleasure for me because when it came out, I'm in the Northwest, everyone's listening
to grunge.
Yeah, grunge and
so
everything.
So that jangly guitar against your religion then.
Crystal production, but I'd sneak home and I'd get my Goo Goo Doll on and some blossoms. And, what are you listening to in there? Nothing. You've been in that bathroom a long time. But that's that really does hold up. Does that have that Day Job song? Is that on there?
No, that's on the second album. Yeah. But I don't know what happens to a band like Gin Blossoms. People love that first album, and the second album comes out, and the second album is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But people they're done. You know what I mean? People just. I don't know what happens with music sometimes where people love you and then your second album comes out and it's maybe not as good, but very close to being as good because I really like the second album And then people are just done with you.
I don't know what happened. Now the guy died, right? He killed himself.
The guitar player died.
He pulled a bad finger. What did he do?
I think he committed suicide.
Oh, because nobody bought that second record.
I think he was dead before the second record.
Oh, maybe that's all. We missed that guy. That's why we're not buying it. Maybe
that was it. I don't know.
We'll never know.
Number two
is this breaks my rule of the high watermark and never heard from him again rule of good debut, but it just like it blew my mind when I heard it, and this guy went on to much greater success. This is probably his worst selling album, but I'm talking about that first.
You gonna play a song clip, Gary? I feel like you're putting something in the chamber.
That's annoying to play the song clips. I won't do that.
Do whatever you want.
Okay, I'm talking about.
If you want to annoy people? Go ahead. It's fine.
You annoy people your way.
I do. Yeah, exactly.
I'll annoy people my way.
For my next two, I'm actually going to sing a little bit of a song.
All right. Let's see if you do you know this.
Let me see. Oh yeah, that's Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly. Greetings from Asbury Park. Yeah, original version of "Blinded by the Light."
Yep.
Unbelievable. I first got into Springsteen like "Hungry Heart" was the first thing I heard.
You know what? That's the first thing I heard, okay. And I bought "The River" was the first Springsteen album I bought, and then I worked my way back.
I'm a lifelong fan. And I got this one, and it's just an explosion of words and images.
I know. There's so many words in these songs.
And it was like he thought like this might be my only chance to make a record. I'm going to get it all in here. And it's amazing. It's much jazzier than I think you would think about his sound. But there's just a real charm to it. It's got that one bad song that Mary Queen of Arkansas.
Mary Queen of Arkansas. Skip
Stink Burger.
The beauty of CDs.
The
beauty skip of it. Skip. But and then I argue with people who tell me that they think that the Manfred Mann covers are better than the Springsteen originals. And like the man from the cover of "For You," they change a lyric. Like Springsteen says, "Who am I to ask you to lick my sores?"
Uh-huh.
Which is great,
right?
On every sense of the word.
Yeah.
That was one of the things my wife tried to win me over with, and then her sidestep actually did it. And Manfred Mann changed it to, "Who am I to ask you to fight my wars?" Gay.
That's the worst.
It's terrible, Manfred and Mann, both of you.
Man. Yeah, they did. And I think they did like "Spirit of the Night" too, off that album.
Three songs. They did "Blinded by the Lights," "Spirit of the Night," and "For You."
And
write your own songs, Manfred Mann.
Do what did he? Do I remember that from the VH1 Storytellers? That was his only number one hit. Was their version of?
I think maybe still does he have a number one hit? He's got to have one.
No,
nothing from Dancing in the Dark went number two.
Number two, and speaking of number two, what's your number two?
Number two.
It's not about poop.
Is I'm torn between which one I put at number one and number two, but I'm going to put. I'm going to go with.
Go alphabetical.
I'm going to go with. With a quintet from Boston.
Boston.
Called The Cars.
Oh, The Cars. Oh, yeah.
The Cars. I think it might have one of the best side ones, too. It opens with "Good Times Rule," "My Best Friend's Girl," and "Just What I Needed." And all three of those songs are 3 minutes and 44 seconds long.
Is that a fact?
It's a fact.
Oh,
strange.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's got "You're All I've Got Tonight," "Bye Bye Love," "Moving in Stereo." Nine songs, a great debut album. I still listen to this a lot to this day. I'll pull out The Cars and get in a Cars mood.
That is a timeless classic. And that's you bring up interesting facts. Something I like to do, like a good way to make some mixes, is to on your iTunes press the time bar on your on the top there, and it arranges all your songs by time.
Okay,
so. Would you like to know some other songs that are 3 minutes and 44 seconds long?
Sure, why not? This is a good thing.
"Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me" by Linda Ronstadt.
That's a great tune. Did Warren Zevon write that?
He did, in fact.
I love it.
"Red Vines" by Amy Mann. Do you know that?
Oh, one? See, I like Twizzlers. So I can't
okay,
even,
forget it.
Red Vines really make me...
But, let me loop back around to "Hungry Heart" real fast. Did you know he wrote that for the Ramones?
No, I did not know.
Isn't
that
the craziest thing? He was, he was like,
"Get away from the bottom of Jack. I'm all right. Not coming back."
I could see that.
Hungry Heart.
I wish I could have heard that. They never recorded it. And "Fire" was supposed to be for Elvis.
But then the Pointer Sisters did it.
Yeah. What might have been. what might have been.
He gave a lot of a lot of good songs he gives away. Because of the Night, Patti Smith got her ugly kid face around that first. And then, I'm sorry, what did I say? Did I say something wrong? I like her version better than Bruce's studio version. It's just weird, but
it's something. My Life, Bon Jovi, 3 minutes, 44 seconds.
Oh, Now or Never.
God is a Number by Sleater-Kinney.
I'm glad you have It's My Life in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I try to make it because you
like Frankie said, I did it my way. That's a lyric. Bon Jovi wrote that.
That's great. But see, you need...
Matt's giving a thumbs down. I thought you weren't talking.
You need things...
Either like a normal person or Marley Matlin. Please don't talk.
You need like palate cleansers like Bon Jovi in your cool iTunes. That's why I put stuff like that in there. Mm-hmm. A lot of Bob Seger, a lot of Genesis. Just, you know, some Eagles. Just to break it up because...
You got Abracadabra by Steve Miller Band?
That really tells me
what kind of music you like.
I might just
worst guitar intro of all. Ding ding ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Heat up, ding, ding. He heats up, can't cool down.
No, I have Heart Like a Wheel though. That's pretty.
Oh, that's a great song.
You think so?
I do.
Oh man, that is all right. That's a topic for another.
That's
day.
From Circle of Love.
Oh, okay, yeah, and that. But does that also have Abracadabra?
No, Abracadabra's off the album called Abracadabra.
Magic.
Gary's number one.
This one.
Am I going to agree with this? Is this one that we can all sink our ears into?
I think you probably hated this. It was, but it was, I think it was 1989. So groundbreaking. Nothing like it before or since.
89. Okay. It can't be Soul Provider by Michael Bolton because that was his third album.
It was a trio. I think they're out of the, I think they're out of the New York area.
You're going to give us a clip.
We're talking about, it's the Daisy Age, Pat. De La Soul with 3 Feet High and Rising.
Holy crap.
Have you ever heard this? The greatest debut album of all time.
This is your number one.
Yes! Ageless. It's... It hasn't aged a day in those 23 years, and it's so.
You're saying it
innovative.
Was good then. It was good. It's good now.
It's good then. It's
I'm
good now.
Saying the opposite of that.
So like they sample Johnny Cash.
Just the fact that they're sampling Colin makes me Oates. Not enjoy it.
Go to bed, old man. It's like it's how it's done nowadays. It's a new kind of it's the new style.
That sold relatively briskly.
I think it did okay. They're subsequently they didn't sell as many, but it was rap with a positive message. That was very groundbreaking.
Yeah, because those people want to bring us down a lot of times with their music, with their cop killing and their bitches and their shaking that ass. But De La Soul is not like that.
No, sir. No.
What's the big song off the CD?
That was probably it. Me, Myself, and I, based on a sample of Funkadelic. Knee Deep.
You will pull this out from time to time and still enjoy this?
Yeah, it comes out a lot. It comes up a lot on the iTunes because, there's 60 little songs or whatever on there. So, it comes around a lot. But, yeah, they... The Turtles. They sampled the Turtles on there. It's a lot of.
Oh, we're a big fan of the Turtles here.
Oh, that's
in this
right.
Room.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, we had Mark Volman was set in this very seat. I think.
I listened to that show. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Anyway, so what is your greatest debut album of all time?
I don't know that it's the greatest debut album of all time,
mm-hmm.
but I think we can all agree that this is a good one. Meatloaf, Bad Outta Hell.
Okay, sure. All right. Yeah.
Well, wasn't a strong reigning endorsement.
I'll allow it. No, it's good. Yeah.
I mean, this was a career making album. I mean, the songs on this album are not 3 minutes and 44 seconds.
No,
they're like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
But we got Bad Outta Hell. You took the words right out of my mouth. All Revved Up, No Place to Go. Of course, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. You're probably sick of hearing that. But yeah, I think this sold well, still plays all these songs to this day in concert. I don't know if that means that he doesn't have any new good songs. But yeah, to me, Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell is a great debut CD.
Yeah, kind of you know, pretty timeless.
It's classic.
I was worried that he besmirched his legacy, like, you know, by being on The Apprentice and things like that. I guess when you call yourself Meatloaf, you're not really worried about your legacy as much.
No, you're not.
But the guy is, his voice is beautiful.
Yeah, no one does that operatic, big, ballsy songs like that. And I don't want everyone to, but I'm glad that he does them.
But the point is, we can't talk about Meatloaf without talking about...
About mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Right.
I sat down, I got the lyrics, I diagrammed it, trying to figure out...
Well, this is weird.
What that was. Yeah. And
did you figure it out?
Sort of.
Because on VH1 Storytellers, he actually gets out a chalkboard and diagrams it for you.
Does he?
Yeah, and lets you know exactly what's going on.
Oh,
there.
Is it the service entrance? Is it backdoor delivery? What is it?
Well, no. It's whatever the first, like, I'm trying to think of one of the lyrics.
Like, I would, you know, swim the deepest ocean or whatever, like something like that. It's like saying, I would do anything to run a marathon, but I won't throw my sneakers in the garbage. Like, what? That, you know, it doesn't follow.
Yeah, I can't explain it, but he can explain it. He can explain it.
Yeah, but that's not on that album, so don't even...
I can explain it to you, but I won't do that.
No,
that's actually on Bat Out of Hell 2.
Tell us, what are some...
That'll be on our episode of Best Sequel Album.
Best Sequel Album. We could do that, or we could do, like, you were talking about, like... Sometimes the first album's not so good, but there's like there's the sophomore surge.
Or the sophomore slump.
There's a sophomore
Gary,
slump.
Gary, we can do any fucking thing we want.
That's what's great about
podcasts. He's not talking.
Tell us what...
Okay, well, don't say it. Matt's holding something up.
Tell us some of the things that didn't make your...
I will tell you some of the things that didn't make it. Matt actually held it up. Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah, did not make it. Boston.
Okay.
Okay, I like when Gary doesn't like something. He said, all right,
no,
sure.
It's good. It's good. Boston's a little bit ruined for me by, I saw that Zookeeper. Ugh. And, you know, all those...
Why'd you see that? Because you have a son.
I have a son. But
he wanted to see Mulbart Zookeeper.
Exactly. And they, you know, all those movies have to have, like, a classic rock song at the end where they show the wacky outfits.
Yeah. And,
they sang More Than a Feeling, which...
Great.
It doesn't make sense, Cher does one of the voices.
Why didn't they sing Bungle in the Jungle? That would have been made more sense, right?
Nothing about this movie makes sense.
No, it's terrible.
But anyway,
Cher voices a raccoon in that movie, right? Is that what you were going
to
say?
It's a lion, but so that's like the high point is you get to hear her sing a little bit of More Than a Feeling at the end, but then that's mixed in with Adam Sandler singing.
Yeah, what I'm picking up from this is the high point of that movie is the ending.
Exactly.
Because
you get to leave. But now Preston likes Boston a little bit.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. And unfortunately, he still likes Kevin James.
Yeah.
And Zookeepers. No, there's nothing wrong with Kevin James. Okay, The Knack.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
It's a great
fantastic
power pop debut.
Yeah, that's one that gets overshadowed by that big single, but it's just...
It does. The whole album's good. Forget, take My Sharona off of this, and it's still a great album. Ozzy's first album, Blizzard of Oz.
Okay, now, what's on there?
This is Crazy Train.
Oh, my God.
Goodbye to Romance.
Crazy Train's got the best use of a vibra slap in a rock song.
That thing?
Yeah. I love that.
Boom, 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 boom. I don't know. Suicide Solution.
Yeah.
No Bone Movies. I think we all know what that's about.
Another one who almost besmirched his legacy.
I know.
But he's too great.
And then my other of my 10. And again, I only went through my CD collection and I pulled out the debut albums and what my... So, I mean, there's... I don't have everything in my CD collection. Sure. Obviously, I picked Meatloaf.
Sure.
And then Police, Outlandish Day of More.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
You don't like that one?
Nah, I'm not. I don't care much for the Police.
No, do you not care for them because Sting is a pretentious prick?
Yeah, mostly that. But because they have some tunes.
But the first three albums are really solid.
Yeah, no, I got no problem with some of the songs.
But and then out of the five, the 10 that Gary and I picked, let me pick what's number one. No, I'm kidding. That's not fair. That would be rude. No, I like this. Yours were totally different from mine.
Totally different.
I thought maybe we would have one crossover, and we did not.
We had none.
And I hate you. No, I'm kidding. So let me see. Where are we on time, Matt? Give us something. Oh, wow.
Are we way over?
Yeah, but you know what? I think this is good. I think we can hold. I think the album that we are going to review came out a couple of months ago. So what's another week?
Yeah, yeah, we could hold that. Although if you had, I was curious why you picked this album since it was a couple months old. Just because,
You know, I write reviews for a website called Pop Culture Beast, and I never got around to reviewing this album, and I wanted to give it its due because I think it's a great album.
Yeah, it is great.
I think everyone can get behind You Don't Bring Me Flowers by Neil Diamond.
So we'll talk about that another
time. So it's like a little tease. We're going to be talking about an album that Gary, do you like the album?
I do. Yeah, okay. I own it. I like it and I got some stories about it.
Okay, great.
But I'll
So that's a tease. We're going to talk about an album that Gary and I both agree on. So you can bet it's going to be something stellar.
Before we go, I want to remind the listeners to, if you're looking to do some good reading, the latest issue of Sports Illustrated.
And you brought it. Hold it up for the camera, Gary.
Hold it up for the camera.
There you go. Camera one's got it.
I think it's still on newsstands. Their summer double issue, Where Are They Now? But it's also online. They have their all-time top 40 sports songs. And it's a really interesting list. So, yeah, check that out. That's some fun reading. Even though it doesn't include Detlef Shrimp by Band of Horses.
Is there any De La Soul songs in there?
There's not. There's a lot of. It's mostly about boxers and a few baseball guys. But it's good.
Eye of the Tiger in there?
It's not even in there.
It's a boxing song for crying out loud.
Tangentially, I think.
All right.
Anyway, but do you have anything you want to direct people's attention to?
What I would like to direct people's attention to, I do have from time to time on the show. I want to give you a website to check out. And the website I'm going to promote this week, it's
www.albumartexchange.com. Album Art Exchange.
And this is where people upload super high-quality JPEGs of album covers that then you can take and drop into your iTunes. Because I'm like an anal freak for having a really good high-quality album cover photo in my iPod.
Okay.
So this is where you can find them. It's got thousands. It's got 166,000 images are available right now.
Do you have to painstakingly go in piece by piece and load those in, or can you just like
maybe, you can just drag it right from their website right into your iTunes?
Can you just like introduce your iTunes to the site and then go have a sandwich and come back and
you know what?
Replace
things? I think you can do that actually. You can do that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. I have not done that yet. For some reason, I'm afraid that they're gonna remove an image that I like and
right.
I don't know, but so I just drop and drag or whatever you want to call it, but it's a great website. It's got albums, it's even got singles, like if you have a Beatles single in your thing, it has the original 45 sleeve, tons of stuff. So albumartexchange.com.
I'm with you. I love messing around with my iTunes like that, like a almost like it's a little stamp collection or something.
Like my wife will go like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, playing with my iTunes. What do you mean you're playing with your iTunes? And I say, leave me alone and go practice your sidestep. Hey, this has been episode 001 of Rock Solid. Gary and I have a bunch of segment ideas that we're going to be introducing over the next couple of weeks. And Gary, I think next time you want to do something called what?
Oh, we're going to do the title fight, where we take two songs, different songs with the same name, and we decide which one is better.
Which one is better. So we're going to do that next time. And for Never Not Funny Presents Rock Solid, I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Gary Lucy. This felt right.
This felt good. So far, so good. I think we're going to try to bring funny next time. But other than that, we got the Never Not Funny name above us. We got to bring some funny along with our ridiculousness of music. And I'm so pissed off at you right now, Gary.